Hello, and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we bring in sweet, sweet facts and trade them around like dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate those facts on a scale of, that was so fucking cold, your fact was uneducational, to, ooh, Bette and Tina having sex on the L word. I think that's all. I'm Chloe. I am a lesbian, and I haven't been to a single lesbian bar this year yet. I went to one queer party, that's it.
I mean, a lot of the year, there was not much partying.
I should have fucked 9 people by now. I'm just kidding.
My name is Lindsay, and I've been to more bars, I think, this year than I have in recent years, because it's exciting to go out now, because I can. Mm-hmm. And I think there's people I've spoken to since things have reopened who it used to be harder to talk to, and now it's easier. And I was like, did everyone just chill out and feel like they want to talk more? So I'm enjoying that.
Cute. Hi, my name is Shem. I can't stop going to lesbian events. Not by design or choice. I just keep someone like, oh, can you shoot something? Or turn up on camera. Like, we're all lesbians, but you have a camera. It's like, I'll just be around. So yeah, like, I feel like I'm doing more than Chloe on that front.
I'm Kelly. I went to a pride party in Bushwick, which I don't do. I don't do that. I walked into the space and there was someone with a dog at this like insane party, like thumping bass, people all over the place. And I could not enjoy myself because I was so worried about the dog the whole time that I just had to stay with the dog, who was fully with his owner and fine. Yeah. But I had to stay and make sure nobody stepped on the dog's tail. So that was sort of my pride.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Why do that to your dog? The dog can't be having fun.
Don't know that. Maybe that dog really needs a dumpster or something.
The owner was like, I don't want to go, please.
Yeah. The dog's like, I do these parties in Bushwick.
Yeah.
Doesn't buy, but is into sick beats.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, she's a writer. She's an actor. She is an animal rights activist. We are so thrilled to have Kelly Quinn on the pod. Welcome, woo-hoo! Kelly.
Hey.
No, that's good. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. My family, when I was growing up, used to have one of those Yamaha keyboards with, like, you know, the preset sounds mm-hmm. on them. And my youngest sibling is, like, 15 years younger than me. And so when they were growing up, they were like fascinated with this Yamaha keyboard. And there was a rap set that would be like, kick it, come on, yeah. And my sibling was really obsessed with all of that because there were a lot of really sexual sounds in the rap keyboard for some reason. Yeah. She would just push the one button over and over again that was like,
ugh. Oh, man. That reminds me of when I was a kid, when 50 Cent's Candy Shop came out, I was like, I'm gonna learn the lyrics to this. So I printed it out and then was like, Mom, I learned the lyrics, and then made her sit and I rapped it. And she was like,
Do you still know it, Chloe?
Honestly, no, or else I couldn't even tell you. Yeah, and she likes the lollipop, but I don't know the verses.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I took one dance class and we learned like a sexy routine to Nelly's Hot in Here. And all I remember is there's one part where you like hold on your baseball cap, you like wind all the way down and then you throw off your cap.
Hot.
I've seen when I go to dance classes, like I kind of hate that they have the mirror because I was looking and I was like, I look like the girl from Little Miss Sunshine. I was like, none of this looks sexy. I'm having a great time and smiling as much as her. But I'm like, yay.
Oh. Oh my God. Well, speaking of smiling, Linz, can you make us smile with your fact?
Yeah, I can. Well, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see. It's a pretty short little fact today, but I was like, ooh, I'm interested in like where some different traditions come from. So the internet was trying to persuade me to talk about Christmas, but I didn't want to, even though it's July and a lot of people celebrate Christmas in July. But I found out where like a best man at a wedding comes from.
Ooh.
So traditionally, the best man would have had a sword, because it dates back to when weddings were a financial transaction. And so basically the groom would pick his best swordsman to be there. So a best man basically used to be like the heavy at a wedding, and was there to like see off any trouble if shit went down back in the day. Like if the father of the bride had second thoughts or there was like a rival that showed up. So the best man
was
like...
That's so romantic.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So they would have had a sword with them and fought off anyone they needed to.
Do you know in like romantic comedies when they're like ring and the best man's always like, oh fuck, oh where's it being that? And they're playing the main sword and they're like, oh shit, where's my sword?
Oh fuck, shit. I know I forgot something when I was like,
God damn it, fuck.
I
have a dagger, is that good enough?
Give me your bouquet. Maybe they've got allergies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool.
That's an incredible fact.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder what the, what is it, Maid of Honor? If she's bringing weapons as well.
Yeah, two little daggers like shoved in her boots or something.
Maybe that'll be, oh, mine's nonsense. I was just gonna say, maybe that'll be my wedding. Like it ends with Maid of Honor and the other maid of honor fighting to the death. Yeah. That's it.
That reminds me of a story, weirdly, because I was going to ask when do we like stop just carrying swords? Because like people just used to walk around with swords in a more enlightened age. But then I went to like, I used to be like a martial arts instructor, and then I went to like a wedding of one of my students up in like the middle of England, and then they had like a martial arts exhibition in the middle of their wedding. It was just like very important to them, so we had to like in a full suit like jump around and do backflips and stuff like that, and it was like very fun and sweet, but like it was also like a weird time to like show a bunch of like elderly people from Leeds like how to kick.
Yeah, that's sweet though. I think, is that how they met? That's how the couple knew each other. I like when people incorporate their weird stuff into their, you know, stupid fake ceremony that we all do because the government tells us it's important.
Do you have, well, now I'm just running with weddings. Do you have a plate? Because I'm like, oh, beach or like warm weather, yes. Other than that, nothing with my wedding has been planned. Or also I say warm, but I love the fall. I take that back. I've planned nothing. Have you planned anything? Like,
no.
Like, because I feel like I didn't have like the kid dream of like, let me plan my wedding. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I did, but you know, like I was engaged once in my life before, and we started wedding planning. We are not still together, obviously, but yeah, we were going to do like a sort of traditional-ish venue in Pennsylvania where she was from, and we got as far as flowers and stuff before we broke up. But it was, I don't know. I think because, I mean, this is starting to get heavy on y'all, but you know, it's just facts, it's facts. I think because I was so, like, when I was coming out, gay marriage wasn't legal yet. And then when I came out to my parents, they reacted really badly. So I had really a chip on my shoulder of like, oh, well, I am actually going to get married. I'm going to do it better than you two. And, you know, so everything was like a big, like, well, I'm going to do it and I'm going to be gay and do it. And, you know, now my views on marriage have changed a lot. But I did really want to have like a big traditional, you know, stupid straight wedding.
Yeah.
I never thought about the wedding. I just got really excited that you could, like, I think it was, like, we'd been to a wedding and there was, like, the registry. And I was like, these people, I mean, I was a child. I was like, these people make boring things like kettles. Like, they could have had, like, I was really into music and would spend any money I had on CDs at the time. I was like, why didn't they have it at, like, Virgin Megastore, like, for records, like, HMV? Yeah. And my mom was like, that's not really what people do. I was like, these wedding things are dumb then. She was like, oh, wow, if it ever happens, it's not going to be normal.
Yeah.
The first wedding I ever attended, I was a kid and I was supposed to be the flower girl. I panicked pre-ceremony, crying, didn't want to do it. My aunt calmed me down. I showed up and I did my job. Nice. The ring bearer did not. The ring bearer, we started walking down the aisle together and he panicked and ran out of the aisle and ran to his parents or whoever. So my ass was all alone with the flowers.
That's so typical.
And I had to handle the fucking ring too. I did do two jobs.
Imagine if you had a sword to handle.
I know. I would have killed that little boy with my little girl sword. Oh, man.
Famously, Lindsay, I was at your wedding and there wasn't a single CD.
No, I know.
You had the opportunity.
They are, Shem and I, they are like, do you want to play music? And we were like, we haven't even thought about this. Yeah. Sure, I guess, play this song.
This is being rushed for visa purposes.
Wait, you guys are married?
Yeah.
I don't think I had any idea.
No, most people don't.
I love that.
It was like Shem's work was like, we're relocating you to New York. Shem went, come with me. And I was like, I don't think legally I'm allowed unless we're married.
No. The lawyers on my work team in a phone call at work said, legally, you have to get married in the next week. And then I came home and went, oh, fuck. I have
bad news. Living together in England?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we were together.
Okay.
Oh, we knew each other.
Okay, wow. I didn't know any of this. So do they periodically check to make sure you're still married?
At work? No.
But like, are they here? Do they care at all?
No.
Your boss asked once, because like, I got a text and it was like, my boss just asked if I'm still married. And I think it was like at a time when I wasn't working. So I had just like cooked all this food. So I took a photo. And I was like, Shem, proof, look.
Proof, I'm good wife.
good wife, cook.
Dumbest decision. Like,
normally I feel like, uh-oh, it's midnight and we've just got back from a comedy show. Here's a Luna bar.
They looked at like one piece of paper. We took all these like fake photos. They were real photos, but they were like staged to look like, oh, I'm so in love. And then you can't express how we feel. There isn't the camera available. But yeah, they like we had to show one to like an immigration official. And they're like, oh yeah, fine. Well, it's just two straight people standing next to each other. That's what marriage is. And they didn't like ask any like questions because I thought I had to like, oh, you. What's she like? What's her favourite like CD? What's her name?
What's her favourite CD?
I know, and like Shem has a lot of middle names and I learned them all off by heart. I don't remember them all in order anymore, but I was like, I have to know the names.
It's wow. Shem and then the lyrics of the candy shop.
I don't understand what's so hard about that. It's the first verse of 50 Cent's Candy Shop.
Wow. And on that Jesus. Note, Lindsay, your fact is as hot as the music video to Candy Shop.
Nice.
Naked women, probably.
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 Lindsay, your fact was as hot as the little patch on Nelly's nose where his Band-Aid would sit. That's how hot your fact was.
Thank you.
Do I say how hot your fact was? Oh, shit. Okay. Okay, your fact was as hot as the freaking surface of the sun. I'll get better as we go.
That's hot.
I couldn't think of a callback to anything we talked about so far. My improv brain is so ill-exercised right now.
I mean, we've been doing this for over a year and I still do like either as hot as lesbians or as hot as climate change for I feel like two thirds of them.
Yeah.
As hot as you in Paris.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. As hot as me in Paris. That's it. I'll go next. I didn't enter this with an order. Okay. So I'm going to say my fact. Reading it feels like, oh, people probably know this. So if you guys know this, I'm sorry. But also, I've never heard this, so I don't think so. Abraham Lincoln was a wrestler for 12 years and was only known to have lost one match out of 300 on his way to being inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
I had no idea.
Okay. No idea.
Okay, cool. So he was a big wrestling champion boy pre-presidency.
Wow.
I did know he was the only president in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Why? He only lost 1 out of 300 wrestling matches.
That's impressive.
What? Why did you know that, Shem?
He's the only person I know in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. I feel like people who weren't born in America always know way more about America than I do.
That's fair. Yeah.
We're forced to study it. And then also, weirdly, doing like so much improv, and everyone just like will talk about things and like, oh, you know, Nickelodeon kids shows. I'm like, what the fuck does any of these words mean?
Okay, but do you ever worry though that you've internalized so many false facts because people say them with confidence on an improv stage? Because I know for sure Kelsey has made stuff up on an improv stage that I'm like, I took as fact and then later learned were false. But I had, before I learned that, repeated them to dozens of people.
Oh, so much. Funny. And there's like, because there's so many things that people like, so there's a whole Facebook group that would like correct things that people like commonly say in improv.
That's funny.
Like scoliosis doesn't mean you have like a bent back. Right. Like just stuff like that, that like would like, and it was like, I left
it.
Yeah,
actually that's not how a Montessori school works. So,
and they were the most fun people in improv, and I really liked being around them.
Yeah. Wait, who ran it?
I don't know. I think it was a collective called Actually.
Fun at parties, definitely.
Yes, Actually.
That's so weird. Yeah, I remember going to UCB when I was in New York on holiday once, and I was already an improv nerd, so watched like 3 shows in a row, and they all referenced Olive Garden. I was like, okay, what is this place?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the breadsticks. When you hear your family. I've never been.
Oh, that's crazy.
I started doing improv when I lived in Sydney, and someone referred to the big pineapple in a scene, which I thought was made up, and it's not. There's like several big fruits and vegetables that are like monuments or like things around the country, and I was like, oh, that's real. Okay.
The big pineapple?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think there's maybe like a big potato. There's like 4 or 5 of them, and I assumed
what are they made out of? I'm gonna Google this.
Made up the pineapple and referenced it wrong. I think one is like a big stone, like the maybe the potato was.
No, that's right. Yeah, the big pineapple is a national tourism and food icon based on Queensland's Sunshine Coast, featuring a 16-meter fiberglass pineapple structure.
What?
Historically, the big pineapple drew over 1 million visits a year, being the most popular tourism attraction in Australia. Most popular in Australia.
Beats the,
I have never heard of this.
And I went to the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge, but I didn't go to the big pineapple.
You didn't see
the
big pineapple.
I wasted my 4 years there.
What is it exactly? Is it just a structure?
It's just a big fiberglass pineapple. I'm telling you, the pictures are like, okay, yeah, that's a big pineapple.
How is it not an upside down pineapple?
Oh no. Boo. Upside down pineapple cake. But I was like, surely this has been made up for an improv scene. Let's have a grounded scene, everyone. Oh, this is a real thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Which president do you think would be the best at wrestling? Like, I feel like Taft would be like a classic, like hard to like take down president.
I think Roosevelt is the easy answer, and I don't think he would be good. I think
Kitty. Mm-hmm.
Jackie Kennedy would play dirty. I know she wasn't a president, but she cuts off the main corridor of presidents, so she counts. And I think Jackie Kennedy would whoop ass.
Did you build that structure for the cat? I'm sorry, I can't.
No, but someone did. We lived in a different building when we first moved here, and someone was giving it away.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's been enjoyed by the first 2 cats. And then we recently adopted 2 kittens, and one of which you just saw scramble up the structure.
So cute.
You may get to see the other.
Oh, good. I hope so.
We have like all these generations of cat toys that get played with and abandoned and then played with and abandoned. And then now we're enjoying like a reuse.
Yeah.
Are you a cat person?
Yeah. I like them a lot.
Do you have
I don't have one, but
okay. Hello.
I want to, but Kelsey says that we can't because we have a dog, and also we live in a 1-bedroom apartment, but it's a railroad, mm-hmm. and there are no doors. So I feel like cat litter box smell would just permeate the whole apartment. And also our dog is a little wimp who is very afraid of cats. She got bopped a couple times at the pet store that we go to. You know, like if she got too close to the cat there, she starts like whining and crying. And then the cat's like, shut up. So it's just like, bah, bah, bah. And now she's so scared of all cats.
I know this isn't the right move, but the move I want to make is get another cat and a dog. I'm a single lesbian alone, living alone. I can't handle that many animals, but I won't.
It's tricky. Cats you can sort of have, I feel like, in abundance, and they keep each other company. But dogs do require pretty huge modifications to your schedule and lifestyle.
Yeah.
That I was not prepared for.
They really have to go outside.
And they're expensive if you can't walk them yourself. Then in New York, you know, you have to have a walker. Right. And that was like the biggest unforeseen cost. I was ready for vet bills and stuff, but.
You saying that just blew my mind, because I didn't even consider, oh yeah, at some point I'll go back to an office and that dog will need to be walked during the day.
Yeah. And if it's a puppy, you need it walked twice during the day. And then, you know, an average walk is like $15 or $20. And so if you're doing that 5 days a week, that's an insane amount of money.
It is. And now I think I have a renewed fear/anger at the people who did adopt during the pandemic, who are now pulling their bullshit of sending their babies back because they didn't consider that.
How
in the middle of a life-changing pandemic where they thought the world was ending, they're like, oh, I'll get a puppy. They didn't think that someone would be like, no, you have to go back to Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. They're like, fuck. I'm the CEO of Goldman Sachs. I never consider back to work.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, man. How hot was my fact? How hot was Abe Lincoln?
I'm
going
to say your
fact.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say your fact was as hot as the collar. Under the collar of Goldman Sachs CEO when he found out he had to go back to work. He was so worked up. He was sweating. He was freaking out.
Ew. He's definitely the type to wear the tank top and a white shirt and a collar.
Yeah. Your fat was as hot as the steam.
Ew. You know,
nasty banker neck.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as that moment in a wrestling match where they are counting down, the opponent has the other one pinned to the floor, and they get to the final count, and the crowd goes wild. It's as hot as that moment.
Oh, that's hot.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as Abe the Hat Lincoln stepping into the ring and just taking everyone down.
Our most fuckable president, absolutely.
Where were you last weekend? I was at the Hat's house. Oh man. I think we have to take a break for our sponsors. Friends? Sponsors. Bye. We're back. And I think our next fact is gonna come from none other than our wonderful guest. Kelly, could you bring it home? No, don't bring it home. Shem still has to go. Bring it almost home. Almost home.
Shem has to bring it home. I'll bring the boat near the dock and Shem can tie us up.
Perfect.
I'm huge into boating. So my fact is I really am lately, and I think my whole life, into language and linguistics. And one of my favorite facts from my Latin days is that the word peninsula in English comes from a combination of two Latin words. The word pine, which means almost, and insularum, which means island. And combined, peninsula is almost an island.
That's so beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
I know that we say it's like a dead language, but it's also like you can find out what anything means if you know Latin.
Literally,
essentially. Like,
any romance.
Any Latin words. Greek ones are going to be fucked on.
Yes. But
literally anything.
Literally anything that is English and maybe Spanish and French.
Yeah.
I love that. I speak French and went to stay with my friend who is from Catalonia in Spain, and was at lunch with her family, and they made a joke about the dad needing to be on a diet, but it's like the word regime, it's the same word in both languages. So I laughed and they were like, but you told us you couldn't speak any of this. They were like, have you been eavesdropping the whole time? I was like, no, it's the one thing I understood. Like, nothing else sounded similar, but I'm glad I got to make fun of your dad with the rest of you.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Do you remember all your declensions?
I remember. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. It was like, I wish I had taken any living language then, because it was when my brain was the most sponge-like and I remember so much. And, you know, now it's been such a struggle to learn any other language as my brain hardens into cement.
I was literally just conjugating verbs with a friend the other day and I was like, do I still remember like Portobamus versus Portobat? Like, it's just meaningless. It's fun, but like,
no, it's fun. It's good for your brain, I think. Keeps it young.
We were forced to take like Latin at school, which was like really great. And then like, I remember just learning so many like fun little meaningless words, like concatenate, concatenare, or like to link or to like bind things together, or despair, contum dispero, which literally means like give up your spear, which is like a state of hopelessness. Like all those little like I learned that when I was like 12 and I'm still chucking it out at parties.
Parties.
I laugh at the concept of me at a party. That's not
Shem links up with the unactually people at parties, and they just sit in the corner and like fact check and throw around Latin grammar and history.
Well, if the best man had a spear instead of a sword, he could say the sparrow.
Someone stop that dog from dancing.
I really wish. This is not going to come as a shock to Shem and Linz. I wish I learned French when I had the brain for it. Like, I gave Spanish a shot for... I gave it a shot. I did, like, 7 or 8 years of Spanish, but, like...
That's
really wish
lot.
I just, like... I wish I just did it in tandem, though. And then I could just run and live through Europe.
But you could just go to France for, like, 6 months and, like, learn...
That's so silly. That's so smart. That would make so much sense. Kelly, now you might know, probably do know this, slash can fact check me. You have to, in order to be a citizen or get citizenship or whatever, you have to prove that you can speak French, I believe. There's some layer like that.
Not something to just like live there.
Yeah, not to like spend a month.
No. But to be like I'm a French citizen, a citizen of France, I believe you have to be able to speak French, which I was like, wow.
They're really stingy with it, so that would make sense to me. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing is just teaching English there for like a year, so my work visa was not contingent on... Actually, it was, I had to prove that I was like proficient, but...
Yeah. Where are you teaching?
I'm going to teach outside Paris and live in Paris.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I lived in France for a year. I studied English and French at uni and was in a town called Angers in the Loire Valley. And I was so French sick when I came home. Yeah. Like, I played French music all summer and my parents were like, what's happening? And I had like such an amazing year that it was wonderful. Yeah.
My French is horrible. We did like Latin, French and German in school. It was like so hard to like do like any like I'm bad with romance languages or anything where language has like a gender, like it just like confuses my brain. And then I like started learning like Chinese and Japanese, and they're like so easy because it's just like math based almost. It's like so much easier to like speak, and it's like, oh, I'm not bad at languages, I'm just bad at those languages, which was like a huge relief.
Wait, my internet is in and out. What you said, which did you find to be like mathematical?
When I started learning Chinese and Japanese, like those were like much, much easier for my brain to like handle with, because there's no like, like le table or la table. Like I still didn't know, I think it's le table. Yes, so like that's your...
La.
Wow. See, like, even like that, I just cannot get that right or straight in my head, but I could literally.
I know. Well, because attaching gender to words, I will never understand, you know.
Yeah.
That's like, for me, for sure, the hardest thing also about it is like, okay, it's so arbitrary. But there's no gender in Chinese or Japanese?
Not in the same way. So it's just be like, see boy go school tomorrow, two boy go school tomorrow, and it's like just literally just bolting the words on like that. And then Japanese is like also like similarly genderless, and then they just work on honorifics instead. So I can say like I love you, like the way you'd say like I love you, or I greatly respect you, or fuck you and die, is just changing the way you say the you to be like very respectful to like very disrespectful. Like it's just a sliding scale of yous. Yeah, it's hard. Didn't get the wrong one.
I was gonna say, yeah, learning that language. Oh my God.
That's high stakes.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I was saying thank you the wrong way for a while.
This summer, some Mandarin, and it was too hard. I was like, the different characters were really hard for my brain. Maybe with more focus. I was also extremely high when I was, like, whenever I was trying, I was like, I'm sure that didn't help.
Oh my God. I'm always like, it's weird. I watched that movie and I can't remember any of it. And it's like, yeah, you were blasted at 2 a.m. watching it and you were half on TikTok. Yeah. The other hand was petting Joan. Why can't I remember what happened?
Yeah. Got a bunch of language heads in here, huh?
Yeah, three.
There are three, and then I'll rate your fact.
Okay.
Your fact is as hot as my face gets when everyone else is speaking a language that I don't understand, but it's something that I should, it's like elementary Spanish, and I don't know it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Your fact was as hot as my embarrassed little face.
I'm going to follow the embarrassment theme. And my friend, when we were living in France, wanted to buy a ruler and went into a shop and tried to ask a woman, like at the cashier, whether if she had rulers in the shop, but instead asked if she had periods, because the word for ruler in French is règle, and it would be régulier for period. So he was super embarrassed and told us all week. He was like, I can't go back in that stationery store ever.
Your fact was as hot as the time I tried to ask someone out in Latin class by translating a series of like Catullus's love poetry, but like I like tried to like change the specifics, and then she laughed at me because I got the declensions wrong, and it just never went anywhere. And the embarrassment that went on my face as I realized my spelling error was as hot as your fact was.
Oh shit, that does really suck. You know, like trying to. When your game is Catullus, and then she's like, decline this one.
On that note, Shem, you want to bring us home? Take us from the dock. Take us home.
I also brought in like a language based fact, because like I love words. And then this isn't my fact, but like it reminded me of one of my I used to like just study like words, so I love like looking at things like paraprosodokion. It's like a figure of speech where like the latter half of the sentence is different to the first half, so it creates like an unusual juxtaposition. This isn't not my fact, just like fun, but it's like when you get the and it's how a lot of like jokes are constructed. So like I haven't slept for 10 days because that would be too long. The meaning of the sentence in the second half changes the first half, so you have to like go back and think about it. Like all those little ways, or like that you can like structurally break down just a fun little joke into how you can make it like unfun. I did like Greek rhetoric in school, and then they'd like talk about the ways you'd break out like articles and structures and sentences and like speeches. So that was fun. But my
What was that called again?
Paraprosodokion. I will
write it down. Yeah. Put it in the notes, or put it in the episode notes.
Yeah. But like, and that led me to like the word ageyotori, which is Japanese for to when you look worse after a haircut.
I love that.
It's like that feeling when you like have a haircut and you just go, oh no, this is...
There are so many useful, useful words in other languages that we just don't have access to. My friend, when I got dinner with a friend the other night for her birthday and we were leaving and she was like, oh, I had such a good time tonight. I have saudade, which is like a Portuguese for like nostalgia, for a feeling of sadness because you know you're going to have nostalgia about something that just happened. Isn't that like such a beautiful sentiment?
Yeah. That's so beautiful.
I don't think I'm pronouncing it right.
Saudade.
Saudade?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know any of the words, but I think like German is a language that does that a lot.
Yeah. And
like it's just impressive. But also those words would...
Was it Kummerspätt? The grief bacon?
I don't know that.
I can't remember the German for it. I'm so like grief bacon now. It's like Speck or something. Something Speck. And like Schadenfreude is the one that most people know.
Kummerspätt, yeah, grief bacon.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
It's the that when you're sad that you eat like bad food. So it's like grief bacon.
Grief bacon.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I feel like I just want to put up art, statement art that's just grief bacon. Just the words. Just grief bacon.
Welcome to Bummed Out Bagels. We're feeling like you are.
There has to have been a restaurant in New York City called Grief Bacon at some point, right? I'm going to Google this.
I mean, if there isn't.
I mean, there's definitely like an improv.
There's
team.
One in Sydney.
Wow.
I didn't go.
I'm Googling. Wow, we got to get to Sydney.
We have to go to Sydney.
Pretty sure it was upside down grief bacon.
Oh, no.
God. Okay, there's a lot. There's one near Boston. Mm? There's one. There's Kummerspätt all over the world. Wow.
I'm going to say something controversial, or it's a spicy question. Let's phrase it that way. You have the ability to just absorb any language. You just know it. Period. Done. What are you going to learn? What are you going to take in?
Spanish. I never learned it, and it feels fully like racist not to speak it in the United States in 2021.
That's fair. That's
fair. I was going to say Spanish as well. I learned a little when I went to South America, and like knowing French helped again, but Spanish. Because the ones that I know, I'll go back to and learn more of, but Spanish,
yeah, that makes sense.
Damn, I have to say Spanish. Just because I live here and I mostly like do improv with like Puerto Ricans and people like that. So just fully do scenes in Spanish around me and it's like, and what? Like,
right. Yeah, I'm adding nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're starting Spanish Club is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, Spanish Club.
Yeah. It's so easy. I mean, it's, you know, if you have any sort of romance language background, it's not hard. I understand a lot of spoken Spanish, but I should be able to produce it and I can't.
I was learning it with my ex and she got really frustrated because I knew French, I would learn the words quicker than her or knew what some of them meant. And she's like, this isn't fair. You told me you didn't speak Spanish. I was like, technically I don't.
But incredible thing to choose to be angry at all.
I speak Brazilian Portuguese. Like when I'm in Spain, I can like talk to people in a slightly different, I can understand what they say, talk to them back in a slightly different language, and it feels so disrespectful because I can't like flip or convert it, but I can like just have like a functional interaction and it will go on for like a while, and it's like, if only I knew how to like convert, like, so the way I still can't, like, I don't understand what the F means with temperature, like I know when it's 100 degrees it's hot, but and like 60 is like okay, but beyond that I'm like lost.
Yeah,
45, wear gloves when you watch the Chicago Marathon. I know that.
Fucking now I have to learn Celsius.
Oh my god. I had a, this was a fact for this is a fact for a later episode. Kelly, I'll text you.
Okay, text me.
It's about the metric system.
Text me.
Okay. I've literally got to text you right now.
Okay, text me.
Or Chloe, we could end the episode because it's around that time, and then you can text Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I can say it live after the... No, you'll still be listening.
Yes.
You can't spoil your facts for later episodes. No.
Okay. Shem, your fact was as hot as... Still looking at the pineapple in the sky. It's just as hot as the pineapple in the sky when it's really hot, like full summer or winter, whatever the hottest season in Sydney. Not Sydney. Queen. Where is this?
Queen. Sydney. Yeah, something.
In Queensland.
Queensland.
Hottest day in Queensland, and it's just shining on that pineapple, and the light is kind of bouncing off. And there's a man just standing there, and he's getting all the glares. So your fact was as hot as that man.
Wow. Thank you for the journey.
Your fact was as hot as freaking grief bacon sizzling in the pan. Sending specks of grease out. It's hitting your clothes.
That's so beautiful.
That's perfect.
It got me so good. I started sweating.
Shem, your fact is as hot as everyone's embarrassment in German class when they would say "Ich bin heiß" to mean "I feel hot because it's hot outside," but actually saying that in German means "I'm hot." You have to say "Mir ist heiß" if it's you're feeling hot. Otherwise, you're like "I'm fucking hot," and we were like 16-year-olds, and we're like, "Oh no, we said it wrong again. I don't think I'm hot. I don't know what I'm doing. What is all of this?"
What is all of this?
Yeah.
The 90s were different. Kids are all into being hot these days.
It's true.
Speaking of being hot, we have to find out what the hottest fact was. And the only way we can find that out is if Kelly chooses. Kelly, we'll recap, but we need you to pick the hottest fact of the app. And as a reminder, please pick your own if you feel it's the hottest.
Best man had swords.
Lincoln was a wrestler.
I get what that means.
Okay, and Peninsularum means almost an island, and that is where peninsula comes from. I gotta say, I think Lindsay's for me. I think the thing about swords, I had just never heard that before, anything even close to that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, I think it's a real, it's a real beautiful glimpse into how weddings have always been about, you know, control of property.
Yeah.
And it's my sort of sexy romantic feeling about him.
Thank you. Best man, go get your swords.
Go get your swords.
Let's be called property brothers. Weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maid of honors. Get your daggers.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, Kelly, what a freaking treat. The listeners will want more. Where can they find you? Where can they see you, if anywhere right now?
Oh, yeah, you're going to want more. You can find me on social media. All my handles are at HeyKQ, like hello, KQ are my initials. Right now, I do a weekly show on Twitch with Dan Moore and Sean O'Reilly called Eating Shit and Loving It, where we watch... bad internet videos and talk about them. And that's sort of the only regular performing I'm doing right now. We might do another Here and Queer show before I leave, but we haven't figured it out.
Hell yeah. Well, we, and by we I mean Shem, will probably post that in the description of the episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I don't do anything behind the scenes.
Not that much in front of them.
Fine. I'll do it. Okay. Truly, what a treat. Thank you, Kelly. We are Trash Comedy still. You can find us on Instagram at We Are Trash Comedy. You can find us on Twitter at We Letter R Trash Comedy. Call us, leave a voicemail with a fact. We are part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. That's everything.
We have three live shows coming up.
Yeah. But I think when this goes out, two of them will have happened. So if you're listening to this after July 26th, you missed our sketch show. And after July 30th, you missed our show at Anderson Mark. But we do have a show at Caveat on August 30th, which will be Hot Goss with Trash, where we will do a version of this fun gossipy fact-based show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the candy shop.
So seductive. I took you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop. Don't you stop. Keep going until you hit the spot. Whoa. I'll
take you to the candy shop. Where's the word? It's gonna come to you.
Come on. Keep going until
you hit the spot. You could have a trouble. Go back that thing up, or should I push up on it? Temperature rising, okay, let's go to the next level. Dance floor, okay, how's the tea kettle? I break it down for you now, baby, it's simple. If you be an info, I'll be an info. In the hotel, in the beach, in the park, it's whatever you into, got the magic stick. I'm the love doctor. Wrong, I gotcha. I give up.
I mean, I was impressed.
So, yeah, verse one, I said, you be an info, I be an info, right to my mom's face as a child. And no surprise, she was like, oh, God, probably, I would say 12 to 14 is
my
birthday.
Let's be honest, there's not a good age for that.
No, there isn't.
Shall we start
that never, yes, but that never leaves this.
Okay.
Oh, what never leaves?
Me rapping never leaves the archives.
I mean, it might be on the end of the
it
episode.
Never.
No, please. No.
It's not video. It will just be like a little audio for the people who make it to the end.
Fine.
I love that.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.